Hello and welcome to the ONFIF DMI podcast. That's the Digital Monetary Institute. This is a weekly discussion on key trends, new developments and innovation, as well as the policy, technology and regulatory challenges in digital finance. On this week's episode, we're going to be talking about CBDC as a public good. My name is David Marsh. I'm the chairman of ONFIF. We're speaking from London here. And today we're talking to Dr. Wolfram Seidemann, Chief Executive Officer of G&D Currency Technology. Thanks for joining us, Wolfram. Last time we spoke about the report that we issued jointly in February, Digital Currencies, a Question of Trust, and we explored the general question of global public confidence in monetary, financial and payment institutions around the world. Since our last podcast, the discussions on CBDC have gained speed and traction among public and private sector institutions. Today we're going to be looking at whether COVID-19, that awful plague that has spread around the world in the last 4 months, is a good reason for central banks to adopt digital currency, and whether it is likely to accelerate CBDC developments. The public and the private sectors will have to cooperate together. We touch upon the benefits of CBDC for society. We're looking at the role of public and private sector institutions in the digital currency area. And we're also going to be looking at the benefits of digital money and cash in the light of the COVID pandemic. Wolfram, that's a whole tide of different questions. We're going to be talking to you about all this. Do you think, first of all, that COVID-19 is a good reason for central banks to quite suddenly adopt digital currencies? Will COVID-19 accelerate CBDC developments? And if so, what are the reasons for this acceleration?
Well, David, COVID-19 has driven digitization in all areas of life. It is certainly forcing more and more central banks who have been investigating CBDCs for a long time to seriously pursue this topic further. CBDC could be a powerful tool, both for the general public to ensure participation in online business models and also for the governments to efficiently support people in times of crisis with direct measures. Lockdowns have encouraged a boom in e-commerce, and some payment providers have taken advantage of this situation to promote digital form of payment. If you have not subscribed to a digital service provider, you simply couldn't pay digitally. In this way, the pandemic has exposed the need for digital cash that can be used by everyone without fees or disclosure of data, without involving a third party, and I'm sure that its development is now moving more rapidly.
Can you expand a bit more on that?
Yes, COVID-19 has emphasized to the world that resilience is very relevant in today's interconnected life. Fortunately, payment systems proved to be resilient in this pandemic. Global demand for cash, for example, spiked during the crisis. The pandemic showed us that it's actually governments who play a substantial role in supporting vulnerable parts of society. The public payment infrastructure is one of these mission-critical areas. Cash is a public good. It's inclusive, universal, resilient, and makes the user independent from the issuer. That's because it is issued and governed by an institution that is guided by public interest. This COVID-19 crisis confirmed that the offering of a digital means of payment for all people is part of the central bank's mandate. A digital currency is a public good as well.
So we all agree that governments are very much in the driving seat, as they have been during this pandemic. And we've seen that governments all over the world have taken many measures to combat COVID-19 transmission. Now, in this context, there's been a lot of talk in the media and elsewhere about what means of payment we should actually use. How can digital currencies help governments prevent the spread of COVID-19? Is that actually a possibility?
Well, fighting the pandemic is not a question of a specific means of payment, I believe. It depends on the adherence of hygiene recommendations such as social distancing, hand washing, and the use of disinfectants. And I'd like to add that cash doesn't transmit the virus. Medical experts stated multiple times that there is almost zero probability of contracting the virus via banknotes or coins, be it as a consumer, a supermarket cashier, or a professional cash handler. Infection rates in various countries are absolutely not correlated with cash usage at all. Take, for example, Germany, the US, or Sweden. While CBDC won't prevent the spread of COVID-19, it would give everyone the opportunity to pay digitally. That allows people to choose, for example, whether or not they want to leave their homes for groceries. CBDC as a digital equivalent of cash would also reach the unbanked and underbanked. We can see the vulnerable parts of society are more affected by the crisis. And just yesterday, the IMF published a blog on digital financial inclusion and confirmed that it can boost economic growth. So rather than combating the virus, CBDC could make life in a pandemic easier and more inclusive. And of course, with a CBDC, helicopter money could be transmitted directly and with less logistical efforts, a huge benefit for society and governments.
That's really a pivotal point, I think, that you're making, that switching over to digital currency and using less cash is not going to stop any kind of infection racing around the globe. But what it does do, it gives us a better way of adapting to post-COVID-19 lives through all the benefits that come with digitalization. But even beyond that, do we need specific incentivization measures to make sure that digital money is actually going to be used much more in societies which up to now have been pretty much cash reliant?
I believe it's not about pushing people away from paying with cash, but about giving them the choice of how to pay. CBDC will always be a complement to cash and, in my opinion, will not replace cash for a long while. CBDC does not need to be incentivized if it has the right characteristics. Digital cash is a public currency and serves the same purpose as physical cash, a unit of account, a store of value, and means of payment. In Germany, for example, 85% of the cash volume is used for store of value only. There's no digital solution for this yet. All private providers have so far concentrated on payment services only.
Can you expand a bit on that, Wolfram?
I believe digital cash will lower costs for merchants. Currently, credit card operators, payment providers and intermediaries charge a percentage of the transaction. Similarly, merchants pay for cash handling services. Both could be reduced with the use of CBDC. But of course, you need a good launch campaign for digital cash. People need to understand that it's easy to use and that it covers all use cases from online shopping to person payments. You need to ensure people trust that it is safe. If this succeeds, people will automatically use it.
One big issue that always comes up in these surveys, as certainly did with us earlier this year, is the question of privacy. This is really quite important together with the overall question of trust. Now, it's always mentioned. How important is anonymity for the development of CBDC?
Privacy is essential. It's a crucial factor to gain the acceptance of the general public. As of today, digital payments always involve the disclosure of personal data, either to the payment service provider, to the merchants, or often to both of them. In many cases, it's even part of the business model of service providers. A CBDC should be designed in a way that guarantees privacy protection. The discussion around the Corona app in Germany has shown how relevant privacy is. It was downloaded 6 million times within 24 hours. And one reason for this success is the complete anonymity that is guaranteed by design. Same is valid for CBDC. There must be a disconnect between the individual and the data in a way that is clearly understood by the user.
Can you be more specific on that?
Yes, for example, if a person goes with a 100 euro bill to the kiosk and exchanges that cash against value stored on a credit card, people will immediately understand that this digital cash works like a physical one. Once consumers realize that there is no advertisement sent after paying with CBDC from their mobile banking wallet, it will incentivize the use of CBDC over other digital payment alternatives.
Now, a big thing that keeps coming up in these conversations is the famous blockchain ledger technology. We've seen various businesses experimenting and implementing blockchain for various purposes. Use it to record, track, or to verify trades of anything that holds value. We all agree that blockchain's potential is tremendous across various industries. How will blockchain technology affect payments? And what is your view at G&D of using blockchain for currency technology?
We approach the CBDC topic not from a technological perspective, but rather by talking to central banks to understand what they need. We wanted to understand their requirements, determining the benefits for the public, and deriving common design criteria for a CBDC solution. Only then we start looking into the technology. We developed a tailor-made strong CBDC solution, which we call G&D Filia. G&D Filia delivers important features like offline payment, the possibility to truly balance privacy and transparency, and the highest resilience with no single point of failure. So far, we have received outstanding feedback from central banks and will further develop it in close cooperation with them. But David, you asked me about blockchain. It's a great technology that works very well to secure, for example, value chain automation or smart contracts. However, the ecological effect cannot be ignored, since blockchain servers require huge amounts of energy. Usually, blockchain is also used to compensate for lack of trust between parties. the technologies intermediary, like the notary in a house purchase. In case of CBDC, there is no lack of trust. People trust central banks as the issuing institution, as testified by the OMFIF report that we did on trust in monetary, financial and payment institutions.
Now, another big background factor here is the Facebook Libra proposal. It's omnipresent, and several central banks have announced their plans to develop digital currency, at least partly in response to the Libra suggestions. If a central bank issued and circulated its own digital currency directly to consumers, now there would have to be an account, wouldn't there, between the central bank and the commercial bank. How can regulators maintain stability in such a financial system where there could be overweening competition? It could be quite harmful. And also, would this be a centralized or a decentralized model?
Well, first of all, we must not regard CBDC as another stable coin or crypto asset just offered by the central bank. It's a digital form of cash, a digital legal tender, and that makes it completely different. It does not change the roles in the currency cycle, nor does it change regulations or monetary policy. It might be a bit more liquid than cash since it's digital. Hence, one need to introduce system parameters to counter that in case of irregular behavior. But the roles are the same as today. The central bank issues the currency and distributes it through the banking system. Central banks should be the source of trust and the backbone of a currency. They do not wish to interact directly with customers and consumers. It's not a central bank task to manage consumer accounts. Their task is to provide a resilient and guaranteed means of payment. This can be achieved in a cooperative model. Commercial banks are the right players to distribute CBDC since they have existing client relations and existing apps that they can extend to utilize CBDC beyond deposit transfers or credit card payments. They already know how to manage KYC and AML processes, which will likely to be required for the majority of CBDC use cases.
So this is a very important point. Let me just stop you here just for a moment. If I understand you correctly, Wolfram, what you're saying is that you're going to continue with this model in which the central bank is the sole issuer and maintainer of the central bank digital currency, but cooperates with commercial banks and other service providers for distributing these currencies, just like it is with cash today. Is that correct, my understanding of what you've just been saying?
Yes, that is absolutely right. We don't see competition between central banks and commercial banks. With respect to financial stability, economists have not found yet a common doctrine on whether CBDC raises additional risk or whether it mitigates such risk. A framework for the use of CBDC should therefore be established. And we also will have some further brain work to do to align technology and regulation. This is why we offer proof of concepts and pilot projects to central bank to play with the technology and simulate its adoption and behavior.
Let's drill down into that before we finish today, Wolfram. How do you think the central banks and the private sector payments platforms with the commercial banks can work together to disseminate CBDC and ensure proper, fair, valid and useful competition?
I believe the private sector should serve users and build innovative systems and services, but rely on secure standards guaranteed by the central bank. In our model, the creation of CBDC would only be undertaken by the central bank. The commercial bank would request their requirements for CBDC to the central bank and distribute it to the consumer. This offers commercial banks opportunities for innovative systems and services. The consumer would simply change some of his or her money into CBDC via an app, which could be provided by a payment provider and is linked to their bank account. Afterwards, the consumer can pay in an online shop or in a store using a smartphone or smartwatch, for example. People without bank accounts can change cash at a merchant or deposit the amount in CBDC on a smart card. However, I can also imagine loyalty points, cashbacks, or other promotional offerings being added to the use of CBDC. So I'm convinced that CBDC could become a new means of payment upon which greater functionality is built. Fintechs and the commercial banking systems are already invading within this context. That guarantees public freedom for digital payments.
So beyond this very big subject of digital currencies being a public good, we're really talking about the benefits for merchants and the payment industry. We're talking about this actually being very, very helpful for the bottom line and for making life more beneficial, efficient and more profitable. Somehow you're saying this boils down to a business case.
Yes, CBDC has enormous efficiency potential for all players. Costs are being reduced on all sides. At the same time, all parties have more opportunities to offer value-added services based upon the infrastructure of the central bank for a secure and instant means of payment. Seen in this light, CBDC can be described as a business case, but it's not a private venture benefiting a single party. It's a macroeconomic business case designed for the common good of an entire nation. In this way, it serves both businesses and people. So there's a journey in front of us where partnerships and networks are currently developing. To everyone who is interested in being part of this journey, I can only say feel free to contact us.
Good. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a great pleasure to speak to you, Wolfram. This is a journey and there may be some wrong turnings. There'll be some thrills and spills along the way. It's a journey where we can all learn different things. I think it'd be very good to talk to you today about the reasons why COVID-19 is a reason for central banks to adopt digital currency. We've heard about the importance of anonymity in central bank digital currencies. We've also discussed blockchain technology. It may be inadequate for the purposes we are considering. We also heard about how your G&D technology can fulfill some of the requirements for CBDC issuance. And most importantly, we've discussed how central banks and the public and the private sector can work together to disseminate CBDC and spark further innovation in digital payments. And if we play this correctly, it should be for the benefit of all concerned. This is David Marsh signing off now. It's been a great privilege to speak to Wolfram Seidemann today. I'm sure you'll be hearing from us again. If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe to our channel. We are on iTunes and we are on Spotify, and we look forward to further interaction with you all. Thank you very much indeed for listening.